introduce me as the Desai guy?
Ow.
Welcome back to another episode of LA Confidential. My name is Chauncey Talese, and this is a special episode of LA Confidential. Wes and Thaddeus will be back later in the week for recapping night one of the draft and watching night two. But to help me preview the draft, because I know nothing because I don't watch film, I don't have the time or the patience, I have with me LAFB's finest, the Desai guys, Amar and Tad. How you guys doing?
I'm doing good, man. This is Amar here. I mean, it's glad we could finally make this work. I know we were trying to plan it out for like a couple months, but yeah, we just had you on, obviously, for Jeopardy. Yeah, I think you sort of rang true that your draft knowledge was just not the best.
I can do random pockets. Like, I have random pockets of draft knowledge, but as far as, like, I can't tell you, like, why Justin Fields is better than Zach, than whomever. Like, I can't do that. It's not me.
No, I mean, I thank you for having us on. This is actually, you know, fun fact for your listeners, this is the first time I've ever done a guest spot on a podcast, so this is a very, you know, exciting opportunity for me, and, you know what? Yeah, it's nice to know I don't invest, you know, these dozens and dozens of hours for nothing. So it's nice to actually put it to use for once in my life. So no, I'm very excited to get started.
Now let the people know who you are. Which one's Amar? Which one's Tad?
So yeah, my name is Tad Desai. For those of you who don't know, I am currently a graduate student. I'm getting my master's in education, but previously I do have some credibility. Previously, I was a sports journalist for about 8 years. The last company I worked for, we covered the Oakland/Las Vegas Raiders for a bit. I was a video producer for them. We also did a lot of Cowboys and Mavericks stuff. So I'm very knowledgeable with those two teams, but I'm also a Colts fan. I'm originally from St. Louis, so I was a Rams fan until Kroenke stabbed me in the back and moved. So, I will tell you what, like I that was honestly, you can ask my college roommates, the day the Rams moved, that is one of the worst days of my life. It was awful. But you know what? I'm still that. See, there we go. Yeah, exactly. A bunch of people in LA were happy. Everyone in St. Louis was very depressed. So
you got that team through murder and refused to pay for a better stadium.
Chauncey, we can talk about this until, you know, the cows come home. We're not going to get into this. Whatever. Anyway, So like I said before, thank you so much for having me on. Murray, you want to shout out your credibility?
Yeah, I don't know about credibility. I mean, I've been with LAFB.
Give yourself some credit here.
A little bit. I don't know. So I've been with LAFB Network for about, I think, maybe 2.5 years. I started about April of 2018. Started as a fantasy guy. Helped with a lot of fantasy stuff there with articles. We did a morning show that unfortunately didn't last very long. luckily, you know, coincidentally, there's two guys that are had the last name Desai here. And, you know, I joined up with Tad, created the podcast. And I mean, yeah, we've just been having a lot of fun talking football. Obviously, we've had you on, Chauncey, a couple times for some Jeopardy and random stuff like that. So, I mean, it's been a lot of fun talking, you know, just football stuff. And yeah, especially right now, obviously, why you decided to have us on finally is to talk some draft stuff. So, yeah, excited for it. And yeah, glad to be on as well.
And just so we're clear, you guys are like Babs and Buster Bunny, no relation.
No relation. Especially, it was hilarious. I got a bunch of text messages. I know Murr had to come out in the LAFB group me and say there's no relation, as well as if anyone remembers after the Eagles won the Super Bowl, there was a guy that was running alongside the subway and hit a pole and just got absolutely just like flattened. And both me and Murr had to be like, we're not related. We swear to God, like we are not related. So Amir is my, you know, he's my brother with podcasting, with football and everything, but blood related, no relation.
Yeah.
And before we get into the draft, I just want to say one thing, like, I love about your show. You guys have podcasting voice down so perfectly, and I love it, because I don't do that at all.
I don't know if it's even something that we try to do. I guess this is just, you know, how we naturally talk. Like, I mean, I will say, you know, just a little bit behind the scenes, you know, there are some things that I've corrected Tad on, you know, as far as like avoiding the phlebbiness, like drinking water and things like that. He has a tendency to do yeah, no as far as when he's about to do a take, like that's a recent thing that sort of surfaced. And yeah, he definitely used to control the F-bombs. But other than that, I mean, he's excellent, excellent.
I've gotten better with the F-bombs. I've gotten much better with the F-bombs. But that was a real, real problem.
So professional. I should try it sometime. But like, this just for because since I know you guys don't listen, like just keep it super chill. Like honestly, like there's bits we don't explain. There'll be people we don't explain, places we don't explain, unless we want to circle back because it's funny.
Okay, perfect. All right.
Like, works for me.
We'll try our best to fit in.
No, it's cool. But anyway. So obviously Trevor Lawrence is going to be the number one pick from Jacksonville, correct?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, 100%.
You're getting usual like, well, maybe it's not Trevor Lawrence, it's me.
Like, I think Ian Rappaport came on NFL Network either yesterday or this morning, and he said, oh, yeah, there's a possibility that they were talking with Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, and I can't remember the third quarterback, but they're essentially like, there's still a possibility that it may not be Trevor Lawrence, but yeah, this is all smokescreen. It's Trevor Lawrence, like, you know, 100%.
But 2, 3, and especially 4 work, it's fun. What do you see the top, like, 2, 3, and 4 going? Amar, start with
you. Okay. All right, kicking to me first. So I think 2 is actually pretty obvious, too. I'm pretty sure it's going to be Zach Wilson. I mean, we talked about this. We actually have a mock draft episode coming out tomorrow morning. We actually talked about this during that episode where it's surprising that Justin Fields is not more of the conversation at number 2. Like, it's so clear cut that it's Zach Wilson, because a lot of people are saying that Justin Fields is just a little bit more pro ready compared to Zach Wilson. He only had just one good last year at BYU that sort of skyrocketed him to being one of the better quarterback prospects in this draft class. So surprisingly, though, yeah, it's very clear cut. Like, I mean, I made this analogy in a previous episode. I was like, it's very reminiscent of Willy Wonka, where it's like, it's right there, black and white, clear as crystal, that those are the top 2 picks there of Lawrence and Zach Wilson. But yeah, when it gets to my Niners at 3, I mean, God, I'm so hoping it's not Mac Jones. But Chauncey, I know you as a Rams fan would probably love that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Shanahan said there's 5 guys I want.
That's true. He did come out and say that. That's true.
And Jones seems like a 5 guy.
Yeah, so for me, looking at 2, like Amir said, I think it's going to be Zach Wilson because Amir's right. He only had one really good year at I'm getting my acronyms mixed up.
Is he that good? He played at BYU and LSU?
He's just that good. He's a Mormon Joe Burrow. So, no, at BYU, you look at his previous years, 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions his first year there. 11 touchdowns, 9 interceptions the second year. That really is why people were shocked when he came out and had 33 touchdowns and 3 interceptions this past season. So, yes, it's only one good season, but it's an incredibly good season. And it's that kind of growth that I really like to see. So I think if you ask me who has the highest upside besides Trevor Lawrence, because that's the whole thing, is everyone's kind of just saying, like, all right, Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback, whatever. So, beside Trevor Lawrence, who has the highest upside? I absolutely agree with Zach Wilson, which is why I think he's going to go at 2. You know, I've made this comparison a lot on our podcast, and I'm going to stick with it. And I would love to hear your listeners' reactions to this, Chauncey. Yes. I see Zach Wilson's upside and his play style very similar. Amir shaking his head because he hates this whenever I do this. Zach Wilson, when I watch him play, when he's at the top of his game, reminds me a lot of Aaron Rodgers. He is very mobile. He can roll out, hit guys. And you saw this in that pro day pass that like broke Twitter the day he did that, where it was like the 50-yard pass where he threw across his body. It was spot on. Is he can throw very well on the run. And he, you know, he doesn't look to, you know, scramble down 15 yards when he's pressured. He stays behind line of scrimmage and looks for the proper pass. So that's why I really like Zach Wilson. As for 3, I think it's going to be Mac Jones. I'm sorry, Amir. We've talked about this a lot. Look, I don't think there's a reason for this, you know, quote-unquote smoke screen. 49ers have no reason to, you know, fool anyone. I think it's going to be Mac Jones. I don't like that trade if it is Mac Jones, but you know what? Maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong a lot in the past, and we'll see. But, yeah, I really do think it's going to be Mac Jones here.
Okay, two-part question. So you said he's I'm already blanking on names. That's how bad I am with this.
You're good. You're good.
The number two pick. So it basically Zach he's Wilson. Zach Wilson. There we go. I want to call him Zach Miller. I'm like, I'm old.
Ooh, Zach Miller, tight end. I love it. Love it.
Zach Wilson. So he's kind of like a Josh Allen-esque figure, or Carson Wentz, small school, one very good year.
A little bit like that. So he's a little smaller than Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen's size helps him a lot. Sure. And, Zach Wilson's standing at 6'3", 210 pounds. So he's a little bit skinnier. That's why I like this Aaron Rodgers comparison, mm-hmm. because he's a little bit of a skinnier guy. But if you're looking in terms of similar play style, because I could see some people saying Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers, that reminds them of each other. So, yeah, sure. I would expect if Zach Wilson pans out, I would expect a Josh Allen-esque production, just with a little less running. Just because Josh Allen's so big that, like, he can truck a dude to the goal line, I don't see Zach Wilson doing that.
Okay. And why wouldn't the Niners want Mac? And why has Fields kind of fallen off?
So I think it's not that they don't want Mac. Like, I mean, if we've said this before, it's like if they take Mac Jones, it's not like it's the worst pick ever recorded in draft history. It's the compensation that you went up to number three to take him. I made this comparison before. I saw it on my Twitter timeline. Another Niners fan posted this, that the Niners are not going to go from Jimmy G to Jimmy H. Like, I mean, he's a little bit better than Jimmy Garoppolo, but he's not so much better where you warrant going up all the way to three to get this guy. With Justin Fields, though, I could very much see him being the pick at number three. As mentioned, he's a little bit more pro-ready. This is a move that you make if you take Justin Fields, that you are ready to ship off Jimmy Garoppolo at some point during the offseason before the season begins. So, you know, definitely if you take Justin Fields, it's not a wrong move. I think you just need to see that more higher upside with a guy like Justin Fields and also Trey Lance, that there's more room for improvement, not just as a passer, but you could also use him as an extension of the running game. Obviously, you know, Kyle Shanahan loves to run with the zone blocking scheme, made the most out of Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson Jr., all these undrafted guys. Why not throw a quarterback into that running game and just make this offense that much more explosive? Whereas with Mac Wilson, you just don't get that. So that's, I think, sort of the big hindrance as to why Niner fans are just like, Mac Jones, please no Mac Jones.
So what would Mac Jones's comp be? Like, if you were to like compare him to another quarterback? Oh,
man, that's a good question.
I know you already said Jimmy G, but like,
well, the only reason I say Jimmy G is because, like I said, that's the current quarterback that they have on the roster, and his play style is very reminiscent of that. He's got some athletic ability, but it's not like so much like a Trey Lance and a Justin Fields. I think he very much fits the same mold of like the quarterbacks that Kyle Shanahan coached previously. Like, I mean, they keep comparing it, where it's like Kirk Cousins and Matt Schaub and Matt Ryan, where it's like you got these pocket quarterbacks with a little bit of mobility to get out of the pocket and make these off-balance throws. If they need to, but that's not their game plan. They like to stay in the pocket and sort of make those throws from there, dissect the defense a little bit like that. So that's where Mac Jones has his lower ability there. But yeah, the big thing also that scares me is that Mac Jones was just, this is sort of the trend with Alabama quarterbacks. They were just littered with offensive weapons. And it's just, if he's not going to have, I know in San Francisco, he's going to have those weapons, but if he were to go anywhere else, it's just, can it be as productive? So that's the big thing. But, you know, Tad, I'll pass it to you here. Just what do you think about Mac Jones's player comp there?
For me, it's and I cannot emphasize this enough. Imagine a lesser arm strength, because I know the quarterback I'm about to name, arm strength has been his big thing. That's been his only
here we
thing,
go.
Really.
Here we go.
No. Okay. I'm not going to say like Joe Montana or anything. Honestly, he reminds me a lot of Matt Stafford. And he's a weaker armed Matt Stafford. He's a very smart quarterback. He can make the most out of what is given to him. And, you know, Stafford also had a lot more mobility than people gave him credit for. He was very kind of like what I talked about with Zach Wilson, not making that comp by any means. But he was very smart behind the pocket. He never looked to go, okay, how can I get the first down past the line of scrimmage with on my own? Rather than, okay, let me buy some time, roll out, let me find the best throw to make. So I think Mac Jones is a smart quarterback. I think that's why people love him, and I think that's why Shanahan loves him. So I really think just imagine like a I won't say noodle-armed, but imagine a weaker-armed Matt Stafford. That's the pro comp I would make for Mac Jones.
So in Mac's pick, there's going to be a whole bunch of like flat, crushed flat brim hats and crushed cans of like hard seltzer.
I mean, yeah, basically. He went to Alabama. Yeah. What else do you expect?
Exactly. There's a lot of Nana Bros in my timeline, and like it just seems like the attire. It's like it's like hard seltzer, flat brim hats, saying everything Shanahan does is disrespectful. So they're gonna be pissed, those guys.
Yeah, definitely. Because you know that's sort of one of the like things that I hate about being a Niner fan is just everything that you described and the unfortunate catchphrase that sort of just caught on thanks to the E-40 song of "Bang Bang Niner Gang." Just oh dear Lord, I wish that would go away. I wish it would.
They love that video.
I know they do.
Some pro day like coaching barefoot. I'm like, okay, guys, like please find a hobby.
Exactly. Exactly. See,
some of you have said you have wives. Please spend time with them. So does Atlanta pick Pitts at number four like they should, or do they make a trade and cause anarchy?
So, here's the thing. I don't think Atlanta stays put at number four. I don't think they are, because all these rumors are out there that they are willing to move, and if they were really in love with any of these quarterbacks, I don't think those rumors would be out there. So I think, and there's no reason for them to have to move on from Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is a perfectly serviceable, at worst.
Let me step in real quick. Because I know our LAFB group chat, now Slack, was drinking a lot of paint, assuming that they were going to take a quarterback. It's like, dude, do you know how restructures work? They can't. Your cap is already bad. Yeah. They would torpedo it. Like, you can't just eat that. Unless you're super going to go for a rebuild, and they're not. Sorry,
do not apologize, because you are 100% correct there. Is if you just look the way the contract works, unless you're willing to trade Matt Ryan, which they would have done so already if they were, then I don't think they're totally sold on a quarterback yet. And if they were totally sold, then they wouldn't be openly shopping these, you know, the pick. Because here's the thing, is whenever you hear or see a rumor posted by a Rappaport or Schefter or something, always think, who does this benefit the most? And when you see Schefter tweet out, the Falcons are willing to move out number four, that benefits the Falcons because then they get a lot more buyers panicking and moving in there. So it could be Kyle Pitts, but they already have Hayden Hurst, who they just traded for, who, sure, is he on the level? I get it. And look, I'm a Hayden Hurst fantasy owner. I'm not happy with him either, but you can't give up on him yet.
But Pitts is
Can you? I mean, I guess, but all right. So I will say this. If they stay put at number four, it should be Kyle Pitts. I like the Sewell fit. That's fine. Whatever. You're good enough at tackle. It should be Kyle Pitts. I agree with you there. However, I think that you look at what the Broncos have been doing. The Broncos have looked at Justin Fields' pro day. They've looked at Trey Lance's pro day. I think the Broncos are going to trade up to number four to take their quarterback with the Atlanta Falcons. That's my guess for number four.
Poor Drew Lock.
I know. I really do feel bad for Drew Lock. I think, honestly, I compare Drew Lock right now to Ryan Tannehill, where there's a quarterback with a lot of promise, and just his original team, just it never happened for whatever reason. Hopefully he goes to the right situation with the new team. I think he can succeed there. I still believe in Drew Lock. Unfortunately, I don't think the new Denver GM agrees.
Well, that's the Mojave. It's been like the Mojave Desert of quarterbacks since Manning retired.
What are you talking about? Brock Osweiler is so good. Hey, and we can't forget about Paxton Lynch.
Yeah, you can. Simeon was fun for 5 minutes, but yeah, it's been dark, and I thought Drew Lock like had some moments, and he just got hurt. Like the whole team got hurt, so like I don't think he got a fair shake.
I think I completely agree with you, Chauncey, there, where it's just like I think he just hasn't been given a fair chance to sort of have that starting job. And they have a good stable of weapons around him with, you know, Cortland Sutton. Jerry Jeudy, I know, had a little bit of an off rookie year, but I mean, just count that to being early jitters. They got Albert O as the tight end. Noah Fant is a tight end. Melvin Gordon's now going to be locked in as the running back. They may supplement that in the draft, but it's like they got a good – offense there, and I think just, yeah, I think he deserves one more shot, but yeah, I wouldn't put it past them if they decide to bring in somebody in competition and possibly get aggressive and trade up for a Trey Lance, Justin Fields, whoever it is.
So, Murray, what do you think happens to number four?
So, for me, I actually think they stay at four, the Falcons do, and they take a quarterback. I think like they help with the transition process, kind of reminiscent of when they transitioned for Vic to Matt Ryan. I know that was completely different circumstances, but I think they help with that transition here, and they sort of start grooming up the next quarterback, the franchise quarterback. And, I mean, there's already rumors circulating that they're looking to trade off Julio Jones, so maybe they are interested in trading some of these pricey veterans in the offseason or possibly down the road after the season is done and sort of go forward with the new regime, obviously, both on the sidelines as well as on the field. So I think they stay there, and I think they take a quarterback, whether that's Fields or possibly Trey Lance.
That doesn't make sense to me, just because Atlanta, it gave me one thing if Atlanta was in like a Dallas situation, like when Romo got hurt and then they took Zeke, where it's like, well, we're kind of loaded, we just had a weird down year. But Atlanta has so many holes, especially in defense.
That's fair.
It wouldn't make sense to take it. It'd be like a Jordan Love thing. It'd be like a really dumb pick, because you're not going to be getting out of Ryan for a very long time, because you've restructured him like twice. Once this season. So, like, when's this dude going to play? Like, I'd rather optimize my window now and then just tear it down later.
I mean, it makes a ton of sense, but I'd probably go back to your original point. Like, would Kyle Pitts be the pick here? I understand his, you know, promise and all of his ability, but I think just the system that Arthur Smith is going to build there, I just don't think he's the right tight end fit for what he wants to establish there, of establishing a good running game and then supplementing that with a play action passing game. I know Kyle Pitts is an excellent receiver, but I just question his blocking skills. That's the thing that worries me a little bit.
Hurst wouldn't just end up being a blocker.
I guess you could do that, but Hayden Hurst, I think, is more of a receiver too. Unfortunately, they don't have a good blocking tight end in that system right now.
And to back up Murr here again, like, look at where Arthur Smith is coming from in Tennessee. I really like Jonnu Smith, and this is coming from a Colts fan. Sure. I really like the talent that Jonnu Smith had there, but they were never able to quite tap into the big talent that Jonnu Smith had there, because he was always, again, going from a fantasy football standpoint, Jonnu Smith was always the guy that you knew had the opportunity to break out but never quite did it. And it's because, yeah, like Amir said, is I think Arthur Smith just I think he's a great coordinator. I think he will end up being a good coach, but the way he utilizes tight ends is very old school. It's very like, okay, you'll catch, you know, three or four passes a game. Hopefully one of them is a touchdown at the goal line. Otherwise, you're just there as an extra offensive tackle. And look, like Amir said, Kyle Pitts, I love him. I've talked about him a ton on our podcast. I think this guy is a generational talent. I see him as next Gronkowski, and I will stand by that statement. No, he's a good receiver, though. He's a crap blocker.
Does he just
he cannot block to save his life.
Assuming Atlanta doesn't take him, he'll just go five.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, like, yeah, no, look, he's going to be a generational talent if he goes to the right team. I'm not sure the Falcons are the right team. So, but like I said, for me, this whole conversation is, you know, just not realistic, because I honestly think the Falcons trade out. Is I think it will either be the Broncos, the Patriots, how about that? Or, you know what, I know the Panthers, how about this for a hot take? I know the Panthers just traded for Darnold. What if the Panthers trade up and they take Kyle Pitts? Because Matt Rule, Matt Rule was a former Baylor coach. I'm a TCU alum. And Matt Rule loves his tight ends. So I could also see the Panthers trading up to four, not for a quarterback since they got Darnold, but for Kyle Pitts. So just keep in mind that if someone trades up to number four, it might not be for QB, it might be for Pitts.
If Carolina does that, just because I get to see Atlanta be like, no, fuck off. Like, you're making our first pick.
I don't think they make a trade with the division.
Trade with a divisional opponent stuff.
Never happen. Well, who's got the fifth pick?
Cincinnati.
There we go. They're going tackle, so I'm just gonna yada yada that. 100%. There's no way they don't go tackle.
No.
I mean, they're Cincinnati, so maybe they don't, but they should. They should. We all agree they should.
They may entertain the thought of pairing up Burrow with his former teammate and Ja'Marr Chase, but I think they're smarter to realize that with the injury that Joe Burrow suffered last year, they want to make sure that never happens again the rest of his career, so they'll take Sewell out of
order. If they don't take a tackle, Zach Taylor definitely gets fired next year.
Exactly.
It won't be his fault. It'll be his fault, and they don't want Joe Burrow to die.
Exactly.
So, Miami. They're sitting at 6. They've already done some crazy shit. Even today, they traded Eric Flowers for Washington. Was it Washington's first round pick?
Washington.
No, it wasn't first round. I read that was a late round swap.
Oh, I just thought late round. I'm like, because I know Washington's kind of technically picking late because they made the playoffs. But
they actually pick right after the Dolphins at 19. The Dolphins pick at 18, so they pick at 19. But yeah, I agree with Ted. I think it was a later round pick, so I don't think it was in the first round. Bet.
So. It was a cap clearing move. Eric Flowers do a lot of money, and you know what? I'll go a little bit of tangent here. This is why you have to be very careful of these teams that go on hard free agency runs. It's because Eric Flowers is part of that. Amir, help me out here. Who's the other player they just jettisoned? The Dolphins did. They paid a lot. Kyle Van Noy.
They paid
a lot of money too in that 1 year, and now two of those like four players they paid a lot of money for are now gone. So NFL teams, be careful. But sorry, Chauncey, keep going.
No. Like as a Rams fan, trust me. Like we're still extricating ourselves from the extension spree of 2018. I feel you. Hey, you know what? It worked out. So the Dolphins are at 6. They traded and then traded back again to get there. What do they do? Do they trade out again, or what do they want?
So I think they'll stay at number 6 because obviously they traded with San Francisco from 3 to 12, but then they also made a separate trade with Philadelphia to jump back into the top 10 to get to number 6. So I think they eye one of the pass catchers, whether that's possibly Kyle Pitts, since he's possibly still going to be there, or one of the top three receivers, whether that's Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, or Jalen Waddle. But I think they want to support Tua with an additional weapon in the passing offense, and yeah, it'll be one of those four pass catchers depending on who's there. But they will stay at 6.
Okay. And then who's got 7?
That would be the Detroit Lions.
They're going receiver, huh?
100%.
Most likely, but, you know, it's very similar to, like you said, with Atlanta. They got a lot of holes, too. So if they went in a different direction, it wouldn't surprise me either. But, yeah, they lost both of their starting receivers in Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay. So, yeah, it would make the most sense that they would go receiver. So you could possibly argue that they may go a twin tight end set, especially with Dan Campbell being a former tight end, and they pair him up with TJ Hockenson, Kyle Pitts and TJ Hockenson. I mean, that would be dangerous for opposing defenses to have to worry about. But yeah, I think you need a weapon on the outside to help Jared Goff.
I would say it would, but then again, it's like it's still Goff, so...
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah, look, I don't think they're going to go quarterback here. Quote-unquote... exactly. So I think the one quote-unquote like surprise pick that could happen is you look at their starting inside linebackers right now. It's Jalen Reeves-Maven and Jelani Tavai. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Chauncey, if you can check me on that, that'd be amazing. But if it's Micah Parsons at this point, like I really do like Micah Parsons. I know our fellow LAFB writer Stephen Hagelin is as high on him as I am. I love Micah Parsons. So this would be one of the first picks where it would be like, oh, that surprises a lot of people. It would surprise me as well, but it also wouldn't just blow me away. Like I could see Micah Parsons potentially being the 7th pick as well.
It would make a lot of sense.
Okay. Which team do you think will make the biggest noise? Like either be a huge trade up or multiple trades on night one?
I got two teams here. So first I got the Arizona Cardinals. I think they have a pretty complete roster. Like, I mean, with the signing of J.J. Watt, they obviously made the trade for Rodney Hudson to upgrade the offensive line. They obviously signed A.J. Green. They already have DeAndre Hopkins. Kyler Murray's entrenched as a starter. They moved off of David Johnson. Chase Edmonds and James Conner are going to run it. Their secondary is okay, but I think they can make one upgrade, and that's the opposing corner spot. And that's where I think they could get a little bit aggressive. And they possibly could trade up into the top 10, maybe to 11 with the New York Giants. And they could go for that leftover corner, whether it's Patrick Surtain or J.C. Horn. Because I think the Cowboys at number 10 will probably take a corner, most likely Patrick Surtain. But I could see the Cardinals getting a little bit aggressive to get J.C. Horn, because he will not be there when they pick at 16. So definitely they'll need to move up to do that. And then the second thing before I kick it to you, Tad, is that I know the Ravens traded for a first-round pick. They traded Orlando Brown to get the 31 pick, but I think that actually may make them aggressive with number 27 to move up a little higher to get a high-quality player in the teens that they really want to supplement their second first-round pick at the very bottom of the draft, so they could go for one of those first pass rushers, possibly a Jalen Phillips, a Quiddy Pay, one of those guys to sort of anchor their defense, because they lost so many great players in Matthew Judon and Yannick Ngakoue. So to fill up position like that, to take any of the pass rushers that you have available to you, the Ravens may use their original pick at 27 to move up then.
They need a receiver, though. Like, I don't understand why they keep ignoring that.
And I think, Chauncey, just to go with your point there, where they do need a receiver, they'll probably use that pick at 31 to take a receiver. So I'm seeing a lot of their interest in Terrace Marshall Jr. out of LSU. That could be a pick there. If Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota is surprisingly on the board there, I think he's absolutely the pick at 31. But yeah, Tad, just what are your thoughts there as far as, like, what do you think the Ravens would do at receiver, possibly, for the league's worst passing offense?
Look, so I've said this plenty of times on our podcast. I'm a height supremacist. Height.
Height is right.
I've gotten some questionable tweets being like, you are what? No, it's height. How tall you are. And look, they're the Ravens' top receiver right now is a 5'10 Marquise Hollywood Brown. I really like Hollywood Brown. I think he is a great weapon to have. He cannot be your top weapon. So, you know, again, with another little spoiler alert, me and Murd talked about this on our mock draft episode. I had the Ravens go linebacker with one of their first round picks, and I had to change it because by all reports, they realize they need to add size there. So I think they will trade up for Rashad Bateman or Terrace Marshall if they are scared. But going back to the original question of who may surprise you, here's a team that I think may be a little bit more aggressive, because this team is always a little weird on draft day and everyone seems to forget this. Don't be surprised that the Raiders are a little more aggressive on draft day.
Oh, no. They're my sleeping giant for doing some crazy shit, because they've been very quiet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they've been doing crazy shit since John Gruden took over, which is awesome, because that's what we were all hoping when John Gruden took over.
I know, they changed their whole offensive line, which I find hilarious.
Exactly. Well, so that's why I think they'll go crazy, is because it's going to be one of those things where they go crazy, but it's one of those weird things where it's like, you went crazy, but you didn't like make the moves that like everyone's going to freak out about. So I think they could trade back in the first round and take two tackles or two guards or whatever. They'll trade back in the first round and take two offensive linemen just because they absolutely nuclear bombed that offensive line. So I think that the Raiders could potentially be one of those teams that really surprise people. And honestly, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I'm going to stick my flag in this really hot take. If the Raiders do like a draft day type shit and had three first round picks by the end of the night.
Wow.
And I'm sticking my flag in that.
Oh, I believe it. Let me circle back to three things real quick. One, I've been hearing that the Cardinals are actually looking at receiver because Larry Fitzgerald might low-key retire.
That's possible.
Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me either, because Christian Kirk, like, he's a bust at this point.
We don't know about his health either. So, yeah, you definitely need to think about the future. So if they stayed at 16, I could very possibly see a receiver going there.
And I don't think the roster is actually that complete because their offensive line low-key sucks. And again, as someone who gets to play them twice a year, like, I'm not afraid of them at all. Like, you can throw on them with Goff. I can't imagine what like Stafford will do. Like, their pass rushing is it needs work. Their offensive line isn't great, and even though they signed James Conner, like, I don't think the running game is very good.
Like, yeah, I was actually very surprised by the James Conner signing. Like, I just didn't think it was a fit for that style of offense that Cliff Kingsbury likes to run. So, yeah, that was a very peculiar signing.
They're a smoke and mirrors team to me. Like, because I had Kyler and DeAndre Hopkins in fantasy last year, so that was fun. Look at them. And you look at them, I'm like, oh, well, this team isn't like, because like the week 17 thing is emblematic of everything. They got smoked by John Wolford. Oh, look, don't get me wrong. I love the Wolf of Wall Street, but, you know, like that Arizona team should have been better. And they did. They petered out because they just don't have it. And even with JJ Watt, I'm like, I'm not that scared. Like, call me when you like make some real moves.
I agree. As a Niners fan, the Cardinals still don't scare me that much. But on paper, you can see that their roster is somewhat complete. I agree with you that I think they still have some holes to plug, and I think that's what they can use the draft to do. So they could become a more competitive team in the regular season. But yeah, I agree with you. As a Niners fan, just when I play the Cardinals, it's just like there's always potential that they're going to blow themselves up and we're going to get a win.
And because it's LA Confidential, I am required by law to ask about the Cowboys. Otherwise, Wes will be mad at me. they're definitely going corner, right?
100%.
Because we've been talking about that for weeks. I'm like, it's got to be corner. Because there was like a hot man. They could trade up for Pitts. I'm like, no.
Here's the thing. They may trade down, but that's not Jerry Jones's MO. It's to trade down. He never loves to trade up, in fact. So I think even if Sertan is gone, because again, check out the Decide Guys podcast if you want to learn how this happens. But plug, in baby. My mock, yeah, there we go. Exactly. I gotta do the shameless plug. In my mock draft, Sertan is actually gone. And I do believe Sertan is the top cornerback in this year's draft. Sertan is gone by the time the Cowboys are on the board. But I think no matter what, they will take either J.C. Horn or Caleb Farley at the 10th spot if Sertan is gone. Farley. So 100% that the Cowboys will go corner because, look, the secondary was terrible. They were among the worst secondary in the NFL last year, and they lost to Dobby Awuzie to the Bengals in free agency. There's no way they can get away without addressing that secondary in the first round.
That is correct. And furthermore, I would stay away from Caleb Farley because the medicals came out of him, and it is dark.
There we go.
Did you not see that?
No, I did not see that yet, actually. You gave me... Look at that. Chauncey's giving me some homework here. So I got to do a little bit of homework here.
They were like, it's like coming off of A, he had an ACL injury, but there was like two vertebrae injury, and there's like a nerve. They said he can't feel anything in his like big toe. So like there's nerve damage that hasn't recovered yet. Like, and everyone's like, oh, cool. So the Raiders will take him.
Oh. It's true.
Oh, man.
So wait, besides Seattle, who's going to be the really stupid team on night one where everyone just like, what are you doing? Like when Jordan Love was taken last year or whenever the Seattle Seahawks make a pick?
Tad. Oh, man, that's a great question. Man, you're really putting me on the spot here. Look, I honestly think it might be the Detroit Lions because, look, I know.
My guy took a...
My father is a Troy Lions fan. He has been a long time suffering fan, but look, I question that hiring of Dan Campbell from the start, and
principal.
What do you put on the his nameplate outside his coaching office of like he's the dude?
The dude,
like, dude, you're not the Big Lebowski. Like, shut up, man. So no, I don't have a lot of faith in Dan Campbell. So yeah, I think either the Raiders, Seahawks, or Lions are prime candidates to screw this up. Here's my guess is I could see the Lions seeing Kyle Pitts falling to them and they go, you know what would look awesome? Kyle Pitts and TJ Hockenson. We can make our own Hernandez and Gronkowski. And they totally misunderstand that the fact that the athleticism of both of those guys is what made them. Hockenson, I love Hockenson. I think he's a great player. He's not a Hernandez or a Gronkowski. So I think that's where the screw-up could happen. They go, oh, we have this great two tight end system. It's not going to happen. So I will go with the Lions just because, you know, that history just proves me right there.
Seems too smart because, like, he was, like, responsible for the Rams hitting on all their late-round picks the last couple of years. Like he's one of the guys who's like, hey, like, you know, John Johnson in the third, like, do it, you know, like, or Jordan Fuller.
No, yeah, that's absolutely true. Because I will admit, when the John Johnson pick, I thought that was way too early for him. I thought John Johnson was a fifth rounder at the earliest, and like, you know, like I said, I've been wrong before, so hopefully I'm wrong here, but if you're asking me who's the most likely candidate other than the Seahawks, and I will add another exemption here, other than the Raiders and Seahawks, because they're the easiest targets to screw up, I'm going to the Lions. I can see the Lions screwed up in the top 10.
Amar?
I'd probably actually go with the New York Giants at 11. I think I have a feeling that Gettleman's just going to make a wrong move. He's going to reach for a player. In my mock draft, I have them trading with the Cardinals for J.C. Horn. The Cardinals get aggressive, like I said, and then they end up going to 16, and they take Quiddy Pay, which is an absolute smart move. But I don't think they do that move. I think they stay where they are, and they end up reaching for a tackle possibly. Like, if possibly one of the top tackles is there, they end up going to go off the board and taking another tackle and reaching for a player. Or they may reach for a pass rusher, which is not so much of a reach at number 11, but I think it's a little bit depending on how the board plays, especially with potentially four straight quarterbacks going in the top five. Part of me sees that the Giants are just going to screw it up at 11.
They seem like the team that's going to overestimate how good their team actually is.
Exactly. I very much agree with that.
It'll be the cute, like, well, we're like a receiver away, or we're like a this away from owning the NFC East. And it's like, uh-oh.
Exactly, because they're going to go on the fact that it's like they signed Kenny Golladay and they're going to get Saquon back. And it's like, Daniel Jones, he's the savior. We got him a third year. But no, it's not.
Away from the playoffs.
Yeah, they still need a lot of work.
All right. And since it's, again, an L.A. show. So the Chargers at 13, they have to go tackle, right? There's no way they come away without a tackle.
Depending on how the board plays, then they may have to go with a different position. But yeah, I think they need to upgrade the offensive line, very similar to what we talked about with Cincinnati, where they need to protect Joe Burrow. Now you need to protect the defending offensive rookie of the year in Justin Herbert. You need to make sure he is not sitting on his ass multiple times during a game. So offensive line is the logical choice here. If perchance, you know, there's some sort of magical run on offensive linemen and it's just a bad move to take an offensive lineman at 13, I could very much see them going corner because there's a possibility that Patrick Surtain or J.C. Horn could be here. Depending on where they are, they could trade up maybe one or two spots and not have to worry about giving up too much compensation to move up. Or possibly this is a chance where you could start seeing those edge rushers, so they could go with the Jalen Phillips, Equity Pay, one of those guys at 13. But yeah, I'm very much on board that they need to go offensive line.
Dan?
So, look, I agree. They probably will go offensive tackle somewhere here. But something else to not be surprised about, there's a good possibility that Slater's gone, Rashawn Slater, the offensive tackle at Northwestern's gone. Sewell will almost certainly be gone by here, by this point. Yeah, exactly. So something that Chargers fans shouldn't discount, though, look, Mike Williams is due around $17 million against the cap next year. Don't discount the Chargers going for Jalen Waddle or Devontae Smith or Jamar Chase if one of them tend to fall, and just they will take them on. And I know people go, well, why would he have Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and one of the guys you draft? Well, look, here's the thing is I know the NFL trade deadline is not a huge thing like it is with baseball or basketball, but man, if they do that, Mike Williams is a pretty good piece to go for at the trade deadline. So I think So I think they could go. Yeah, I think they will go tackle at 13. But if all the tackles are gone and they say, okay, what's the best case scenario? Don't be surprised if the Chargers go receiver here.
Well, if they do go receiver, maybe their fan will be very upset.
I don't doubt that. Between following you and Stephen Haglund, Chargers fans are just upset a lot. That's the one thing I've learned.
Okay, so like I was visiting family and like someone brought their new boyfriend over, and he's a huge Chargers guy. And wow, that was a very interesting window into delusion, because it's like, oh, like the Chargers are going to be the number one team in LA, and I'm like, what? Oh, hold on. And that Stafford is like worse than Herbert. I'm like, okay. I know. I'm like, this is amazing.
Very, very interesting thoughts there. But yeah, like you said, a little bit of delusion.
Like, let me tell you something about Matthew Stafford's career.
Agreed.
No one can win in Detroit, and he took them to the playoffs 3 times. Speaking of which, so the Rams obviously don't get to do anything except party at their Challenge Beach House on Friday. So Thursday, excuse me. So Friday is their big day. A rumor has that they're going to be looking to trade at 57. Although if Raheem Morris is super in love with the linebacker, they could go there. But they also have what's the 57 and 88, if I'm not mistaken, on day two. Correct?
I believe you're correct there. Yes.
Yeah, it's 57 in the high 80s, I believe. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I think it's like 88. Or, yeah, it's 88. Anyway, so what are they most likely to go center, or would they go like best linebacker if somebody falls? Tad.
So here's the thing is I'm a little biased here because I wrote a draft profile on this guy. I think what the Rams should absolutely do in the second round is draft a safety by the name of Andre Sisco. He's a safety out of Syracuse, and he had this weird freak accident week three earlier this season where he collided with a teammate in pre-game drills, and he actually tore his ACL. I think if that didn't happen, he would be discussed as a potential Trevon Merrick type player. And that, for those of you who don't know, that's the safety at TCU who could go late first, will go no later than early second. I think Andre Sisco belongs there, but he could fall further because of this ACL injury. And why you look at...
Because they already have... they got Rappenfuller, and then you have Terrell Burgess either being a slot corner or just a utility DB.
Look, I disagree with you. I don't like Fuller. I think if you put Sisco in, and assuming he bounces back effectively from his injury, he will be a much better starter than Fuller. Because with the loss of John Johnson, you have to make sure that safety position is equipped, especially with a division full of guys like Brandon Ayuk, with DK Metcalf, with DeAndre Hopkins. You have to make sure that you are deep in the secondary. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that Jordan Fuller is good. But even then, it can never hurt to – well, again, I disagree with you there. But maybe if you have more depth at secondary, that will help you more. So that's why I'm going there. And, Amir, help me out here. I'm playing – you guys have Ayuk,
Debo Samuel, George Kittle. Thank you. I mean, we could keep going, but, yeah, we don't have to.
And God knows the Seattle Seahawks, their tight end, you know, depth chart goes 6 tight ends deep for the past like 2 years now. So they're going to be good. So you have to bulk up on safety. So look, we disagree on how good Fuller is, but at the same time, look, man, I honestly believe that Sisco is a first round safety. And if he didn't tear his ACL, he would be that. So if the Rams get him in the second round, worth it.
I think their problem, though, is, like, they need a linebacker and a center more than they need a safety. Like, they can afford to take another flyer on, like, another Terrell Burgess type or another Jordan Fuller type later. Because, obviously, like, their number one priority is beefing up that center spot because they lost Austin Blythe to the Chiefs, and they need to protect Stafford at all costs.
I think overall, just their offensive line could use some improvement because, obviously, Andrew Whitworth is, you know, getting up there. He's not going to play forever. It's like you said, they definitely need to upgrade in the interior offensive line position. So I know there's a lot of talk about the, you know, the very small school guy, but I mean, just everybody just keeps raving about it. Quinn Miners out of Wisconsin Whitewater. He's a possibility there, 57. There's the tackle out of Clemson. Jackson Carman could be a possibility here. If Creed Humphrey is still on the board at 57, excellent, excellent pick out of Oklahoma. I mean, he would be just such a solidifying piece to your offensive line at the center position, or possibly if you want to shift him to guard, he could play guard as well. But just he would be an absolute steal at 57 if he's there. But yeah, I agree with you as well that if they need to upgrade the linebacker position, that would be good as well. You got guys like Baron Browning, Jabril Cox, Chaz Surratt. They're more of like, you know, your hybrid. Like they could play inside, they could play outside. With the right refinement and the right development, they could probably use on all assets or all all different types of schemes and all different alignments at the linebacking position, whether you want to get after the quarterback, whether you want to drop back in coverage, or whether you just need to defend the run. These three guys can sort of develop into those types of players. So I agree that probably safety is not the need at round two. I think you need to go offensive line or possibly at the linebacker position.
Right, hold on. I need to defend myself real quick. Okay. All right, look. John Johnson was a very big reason that defense worked out as well last season as they did. And John Johnson is a bigger loss than most Rams fans see. Oh, no. I promise you guys, if you do not. Well, okay, so you think Jordan. Whatever. Anyway, my point is.
I agree with you that
Jordan Fuller is a suitable replacement, but if you get Andre Sisko in there, and again, assuming he is healthy to start the season, which I know a torn ACL scares a lot of fans. Look, a torn ACL with the current state of sports medicine, that's not as bad as it was historically. So you are getting a first-round safety in the second round right there.
Could they get him at 88, possibly, if enough teams are scared?
88 100%. Might be a little bit too low, though. But if he is there, 88, like, absolutely, turn in the card as fast as you can. But I think I projected more going at the late of the second, early third. So, yeah, I think 57 is a little bit too high for me. If they did take him at 57, I could sort of understand it. But, yeah, I think they have other pressing needs.
You guys laugh all the way to the bank while the Colts draft this guy. Introduce me as the decide guy.
Ow. Welcome back to another episode of LA Confidential. My name is Chauncey Talley.